Pharmaceutical Contamination Control, Live Q&A Event Frequently Asked Questions. This FAQ paper is a follow-up to the webinar, Pharmaceutical Contamination Control, Live Q&A Event. This was presented by
Maurizio Della Pietra, Daniele Pandolfi, Giulia Artalli, and Bjark Madsen.
Many thoughtful questions were asked about current standards in the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry. Questions submitted during and after the webinar are answered by our experts below. If you have any additional queries, submit them directly here at pmeasuring.com/contact us.
I will be asking the questions.
And I will be answering them. Now let's get started.
Is there a specific requirement in the EU GMP guidance for updating an FMS system?
It depends on what you're using currently for your FMS. You could be in compliance with some regulations, but not with others. First, ensure your system meets data integrity regulations, which includes requirements from multiple governing bodies including EC, EU GMP Annex 11, FDA, 21 CFR Part 11, Electronic Records and Signatures, FDA, Data Integrity and Compliance with CGMP, MHRA, GXP Data Integrity and Definition for Industry, and WHO, Guidance on Good Data Record Management Practices. Next, you may be in compliance with ISO 14644-1. From 1999, stating a calibration certificate is necessary for all particle counters, but in the latest ISO 14644-1 from 2015, the calibration must be completed according to ISO 21501-4 requirements, last updated in 2018. Another aspect to consider is what flow rate you are using to sample your air. If you are using anything less than 1 CFM or 28.3 LPM for environmental sampling, you do not comply with the latest EU GMP Annex 1 draft released in 2020. A part of installation you may not have considered is tubing orientation and length, which impacts particle transportation efficiency to the particle counter, particularly 5-micron contamination. If there's excess tubing that isn't optimally lined from the sample point to the counter, your contamination readings may not be accurate.
Is a central vacuum system necessary to implement stationary particle counters/active air sampling for continuous monitoring? What are the pros and cons?
Central vacuum systems are beneficial to larger systems, meaning more than 16 sampling points. The reduced sensor cost allows the infrastructure's higher cost to become worth the investment. As a downside, each sensor requires its own tubing and communication wiring, but if they don't contain their own blower, they are dimensionally smaller. This allows for easier positioning in a filling line. For a smaller system, only Ethernet communication wiring is required to each particle counter, and there is a lower infrastructure investment. Required maintenance for the central vacuum system can be avoided, and there is no additional calibration of the sensor module or pressure control system.
Why are audit trails not able to link a person to a specific action at a given time for LASER 3?
The LASER 3 aerosol particle counter is in compliance with 21 CFR Part 11 for data download and user management. User management is included in the latest firmware version. Regarding the audit trail, the LASER 3 does not store user operations. However, 21 CFR does not require the audit trail for closed systems. In other words, it's not required for systems that already do not allow data manipulation.
What is meant by continuous monitoring? What implications does it have for a clean room process?
Monitoring means the assessment of potential contamination risk of the product. Key focus is placed on the manufacturing processes. Monitoring guidelines are a result of qualification, which gives evidence of the performance of a clean room.
How frequent and how many sampling points per square meter should be included in routine microbial monitoring for a clean room classified as ISO 5, 7, and 8?
Microbial load must be measured in the clean room at rest and in operation. The number of sampling points and their location are found from analyzing the risk to the product and documenting the scientific justification for the decisions concerning viable monitoring in the CCS.
Are reference standards such as ATCC included when incubating agar plates?
Plates sampled must be incubated at the correct temperature and time. ATCC is not necessary. The following configurations are recommended. 2 days at 30 to 35 degrees Celsius followed by 5 days at 20 to 25 degrees Celsius, if bacteria must be recovered before fungi, or 5 days at 20 to 25 degrees Celsius followed by 2 days at 30 to 35 degrees Celsius, if fungi must be recovered before bacteria. Current editions of the UPS and EP indicate that standard microorganisms, ATCC, must be included as part of agar media tests. Incoming tests must be performed every time a new lot is received. Every delivery must be tested, even if it is the same lot already tested and released.
How do we satisfy requirements of Annex 1, 9.29 for qualification of recovery efficiency for in-use methods? What elements should be considered for settle plates?
ISO 14698200-3 Annex C offers guidance on determining biocontamination on surfaces. According to the document, quote, "This technique doesn't measure the total number of microorganisms present in the air. It measures the number that have settled onto a surface during the sampling period." End quote. Settle plate validation is not straightforward. There are several aspects of testing to consider, including 1. Required but limited to percent recovery and fertility EM settle plates. 2. Qualify plates per supplier by recovery study greater than 70% expected. Who recommends greater than 50%? Add about 100 CFU to the plate, then count percent recovered for a bacteria, yeast, or mold. 3. Define the proper incubation condition. 4. Consider sanitant inhibitor plates. 5. 4-hour exposure. 6. Use near expired plates. And 7. Add back specified organisms, or alternative. In comparison, active air samplers for microbial monitoring are validated based on physical and biological efficiency in compliance with ISO 14698-1.
Will trending become a key part of sterility assurance?
The currently released Annex 1 from 2008 is focused on manufacturing and measurement. There's no reference to data analysis or trending. The 2020 draft addresses this gap. Trending is now a key component of every CCS and a tool to evaluate your processes and alarm events.
What are the changes in the Annex 1 draft with regards to particle monitoring?
Changes to the draft include content covering the importance of quality risk management, reinforcing industry to keep up with current technologies, example, single-use closed systems or disposable systems, and outlining the knowledge requirements of the contamination control strategy, i.e., understanding the facility, equipment, process and strategy updates from feedback.
What does the monitoring of the future look like? How frequently needs to be sampled/tested?
Pharma 4.0 has a focus on automation, robotics and gloveless, operator-less operation. Monitoring will all be done in real time, sampling will be multidimensional, performed by artificial intelligence with predictive behavior. Data quality will become even more fundamental to supporting decisions made the contamination control strategy. A single data point is only meaningful if it generates a meaningful result.
Can the Laser 3 be used for filter integrity tests? What needs to be considered?
Using the Laser 3 for filter integrity testing is unproblematic. Usually devices with a flow rate will be used 28.3 LPM, 1 CFM. If devices with other flow rates are used, all calculations for the filter test must be adjusted. A scan probe is required for clean air, and dilution is required for raw air. For extremely small ports, less than 4 mm, it may be advantageous to use an active dilution.
What are the differences between the flow rate of 1 CFM, 28.3 LPM, and 100 LPM. Is there any difference in reliability or false positive rate? When should I use the different methodologies and why?
ISO 21501 for calibration requirements govern sampling flow rate, counting efficiency, and resolution of particle counters. The requirements are the same for all flow rates, but flow rates are not created equal when it comes to particle loss in tubing. Typically, the longer and more erratically placed the tubing, the more particle loss that occurs. Larger particle sizes are typically lost more often than smaller sizes. Another consideration is a particle counter's Reynolds number, a factor that indicates the counter's ability to maintain turbulent flow. A higher Reynolds number means more efficient particle transport. Particle measuring systems recommends higher flow rates be used for classification, but not monitoring. Uses for both flow rates are summarized in the PDF version of this paper.
To what extent does the revised Annex 1 cover the production of non-sterile products, typically manufactured in Class C/D environments?
The intent of the Annex is to provide guidance for the manufacture of sterile products. However, some of the principles and guidance, such as the CCS, design of premises, clean room classification, qualification, monitoring and personnel gowning, may be used to support the manufacture of other products that are not intended to be sterile, such as certain liquids, creams, ointments and low bioburden biological intermediates, but where the control and reduction of microbial, particulate, and pyrogen contamination is considered important. Where a manufacturer elects to apply guidance herein to non-sterile products, the manufacturer should clearly document which principles have been applied and acknowledge that compliance with those principles should be demonstrated.
How do you set action/alert levels for Grade D environments when there are no empirical values available?
Action limits should trigger investigations and correction action, but alert limits are established based on historical and qualification trend data. According to EU GMP Annex 1, requalification of clean rooms of all grades should be periodic with set procedures in place to carry them out. Grade D in particular should be requalified every 12 months. Section 9.23 specifically states monitoring conditions should be, quote, based on data generated during the initial qualification process, ongoing routine monitoring, and periodic review of data. End quote.
What are the regulatory changes regarding the monitoring of 5 micrometers particles?
The particle size 5 micrometers has been removed from classification limits for at rest and in operation standards in the newest draft of the EU GMP Annex 1. Monitoring limits still include 5 micrometers, with 20 particles as the limit for grade A. There is an emphasis on the need of alert and action limits based on risk analysis and historical data.
What are the recommended sampling frequencies derived from Annex 1?
First, note that any frequencies specified in the document are the minimum amount required. Next, QRM principles are the bulwark of the new draft, meaning all controls and monitoring should be scientifically justified. In order to successfully evaluate the state of clean room environments, a thorough risk analysis must be conducted to understand the area and how it could be impacted. For non-viable, grade A should be monitored continuously. For particulates greater than or equal to 0.5 and greater than or equal to 5 micrometers, grade B should have similar sample frequency, though it may be decreased. There should be a suitable sample size that captures any increase in contamination and system deterioration. If alert or action levels are exceeded, alarms should always be triggered. For viable, monitoring should be frequent using a combination of methods scientifically justified in the CCS. Continuous monitoring in grade A should cover the entire manufacturing process, including equipment, aseptic setup, assembly and filling operations. A similar approach should be considered for grade B, clean rooms, based on the risk of impact on the aseptic processing. Monitoring should capture interventions, transient events, and any system deterioration. The PMS experts who answered these questions are Frank Panafen, PhD, Global Marketing Manager, Particle Measuring Systems. Jark Madsen, Nordic Sales Manager, Particle Measuring Systems. Daniele Pandolfi, Global Product Line Manager, Systems, Software and Services, Particle Measuring Systems. Christian Stief, Sales and Service Manager, Particle Measuring Systems. Christian Gloss, Expert for GMP Service Measurement, Particle Measuring Systems. Maurizio Della Pietra, Associated LS Product Line Manager, Particle Measuring Systems. Giulia Artali, Global Product Line Manager, Micro and Sterility, Particle Measuring Systems.
Laser is a registered trademark of Particle Measuring Systems Inc. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. All rights reserved. Reproduction or translation of any part of this work without the permission of the copyright owner is unlawful. Requests for permission or further information should be addressed to Particle Measuring Systems Inc. at +1-303-443-7100. App Note 302.